And welcome to week three of the Jeremy and Ryan Show. Yes, that's right. It's the Jeremy and Ryan Show. The more important name comes first. Isn't that right, Ryan?
We're having some problems with our identity, yes. I think. But yeah, sure, we'll go with that.
Whatever. The most important part of that title is Jeremy Pirtle and Ryan McKenna. We are bringing you all of the Major League Baseball news, stories, analysts, injuries, everything that is fit to print. We would also like to apologize for this week three broadcast being a few days late. So with that, let's jump right into baseball. Let's start with our very own Toronto Blue Jays, who are in the midst of some struggles, seeming to possibly be figuring it out. But I think one of the most important things to talk about right now is quite possibly the most devastating thing that this team could have happen. A team that's already well within their struggles, they lose Jose Reyes.
Yeah, last night, Jeremy, in an 8-4 win over the Kansas City Royals. It was, you know, a great win for them, especially started off the series against the Royals, who have started the year off real hot, 6-3 going into last night's action. And then they lose Jose Reyes, stealing second, a slide in the second base, sort of went awkwardly into second, maybe looked a little like bit hesitant.
Yeah, it looked like he wasn't sure if he wanted to slide or stand up or even what type of slide. And it looked like as he was going down, his left cleat got stuck a little bit in the dirt, and it just kind of buckled, and then he continued to go over it. And it's not some, obviously losing a player of Jose Reyes' caliber is just devastating to a lineup, especially when, you know, you already have Brett Laurie out, everyone else is struggling in the field. You don't have a lot of depth at the shortstop position. But he was the best Blue Jay this year. I mean, I don't know if you necessarily agree with that, but I think he got on base in the first five games. He has a nine-game hitting streak now. He's been the best and most consistent Blue Jay, and this is going to be extremely tough to replace him. Anthopoulos said yesterday, at best, out a month. At worst, 3 months. I mean, that's pretty scary.
Very scary.
I think there's a lot of different ideas about what's best. You know, do we want a lightly sprained ankle or do we want a broken bone? I mean, sprains are something that can be very annoying for people. They come up and they just don't like to go away. The nice thing about a break is, you know your timeline, you get it fixed, it heals, and then you just get back into rehab. I think the most scary potential is torn ligaments.
Yeah, that's going to be very scary. And you asked me, you know, whether I thought he's the Jays' best player. He's absolutely the Jays' best player. We'll get to more of their problems in a couple minutes. But, like, Reyes, he's hitting so far this year, .395, just under .400, their best hitter on the team. He has an OPS of .991. And, like, you know, five RBIs already. I believe he had a couple last
night. Two RBI single before the steal.
Exactly. And, you know, losing a guy like this is almost like losing your backbone. And how you replace a guy like this, I don't really know. Like, you can try to look at exterior options, but, you know, you said he's going to be out a month to 3 months. At worst, he's out until the All-Star break, but that's a lot of time to cover, and that's a lot of time for the Jays to need to find an option and need to find wins, which they're having a tough time finding here in the early going, starting the year off at 4-6.
And it's so tough because Reyes is such a jovial character. He's always, you know,
always smiling.
Smiling, laughing, just a bright personality. And to see him in such horrific pain that brought him to tears.
And then to be carted off in a,
like, I don't want to say it was
a gator.
I mean, it's just such a tough way, especially for a newcomer into this organization. Yeah. And it's going to be tough. There is tweets and whatnot sent out already that AA, there was a picture of him
on the phone
on the broadcast, and he was already on the phone talking to people. I believe they just called up some prospect. I don't recall his name, but the Jays are gonna have to do something. And I think one positive note might be Brett
Kawasaki
Laurie.
Kawasaki is his name.
Okay.
Ken Rosenthal tweeted this, and sorry to cut you off, Jeremy, but so Meisters Torres, and this is reported by Ken Rosenthal at Fox Sports, Ken Rosenthal says that Meister chose will get the majority of time at shortstop, and he's familiar
there. So Bonifacio will play second
then. Exactly. And then, you know, Rosenthal was listing off some options a couple hours ago of people that the Jays could replace, and he said Cody Ransom, who was recently designated for assignment. Rosenthal also said that Diamondbacks' Josh Wilson is also an option, but, you know, there's not really too many internal options for the Blue Jays right now, especially since they traded Denny Hecheverria last year.
Well,
for Reyes, actually.
With that, do you possibly see there's some talk of Jose Bautista getting some time at third before Lourdes comes back?
I could see that, just because, you know, Rajah Davis is a great outfielder, and because of that, too, is they had the depth in the minors. You know, they still have Anthony Ghost down there. They've got a couple other guys that can play the outfield if need be. But, you know, if Davis is showing that he has the potential to play every day, which he did actually for a large majority of last year, then I'd be okay with putting, you know, him at third and then moving the infield around a little bit. But, you know, I don't mind Meister's Turris because his glove is usually pretty good. It's just not good at their base.
But his Turris and Bonifacio have just been a black hole for errors this year.
Error central.
I mean,
I even saw in the home opener that we went to that, like, is Turris not the same player that Brett Lourdes is at third base? He went up for a jump ball.
It's also a major height difference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I hate using height as a factor in skills and ability.
Is
but
it because you're short, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm short, and you know, it's affected some of my athletic career. But at the same time, he's a professional baseball player. But there's some plays that his Turris just hasn't been able to make because of his size that Brett Lourdes or a typical larger
he's only 5'8". That's nuts.
So I think it's a factor. I would. Obviously, I would love to see him improve, but this is going to be a tough three-month stretch. That being said, the Jays do have the bats to replace Reyes. Or I don't want to say replace Reyes, but make up for the loss of his bat. They still have Jose Bautista, who is yet to really get it going. They still have Edwin Encarnacion, who's really yet to get it going. JP Arencibia has been hitting bombs this year.
Yeah, he's been great.
Lindis,
not so much.
Not so much, but Rasmus, you know, I don't know if he actually has a base hit. I think he just has three gigantic bombs. So
that's
once
huge bombs.
Once his kind of on base percentage gets going.
But like you got to take into consideration too is Edwin Encarnacion, and we talked about this before the year started. Is he ever going to be the same player that he was last year? I sort of thought he would be because of the World Baseball Classic and how good he was there. But
you know, maybe just a slow start. I think it's just a slow start. It's still what 10 games in.
Yeah, and we can't overreact either. You know, there was tweets earlier this week about the Tampa Bay Rays back whenever they made the playoffs in 2009. They started off the year 2-8.
Okay, so the city of Toronto is already in a panic. Are you panicking or are you just frustrated?
I'm more so frustrated. I think I'm mostly frustrated at the starting pitching because it's been awful. It was this problem last year, but this was with a whole bunch of inexperience.
This isn't with three Cy Youngs.
Exactly.
Or former Cy Youngs.
Exactly. It last year was different in the fact that there was a whole bunch of rookies just being thrown in there and being expected to, you know, chalk up a whole bunch of innings. Now you're
and they did well.
And they did until they got hurt. But this year, you know, you have guys like Josh Johnson that just got absolutely lit
up. His worst
up.
Outing the other day against Detroit, 1.3.
1.3, and he's 6 earned runs.
ERA. The Jays have the worst starting pitching ERA in the major leagues. They have yet to have a pitcher go past 6 innings. They have one pitcher with a win, and it's J.A. Happ, their fifth starter.
He has 2 wins.
He has 2 wins, but he's the only pitcher with a win.
Yes.
That's not who you would, A, expect to have a win, and B, that's atrocious.
I was talking to Adam Connolly, who was on our show the first week, earlier this week, about Happ, and you know, it's great that he's having this success, but Adam said, you know, you can't have that in order to succeed.
He wasn't even that good last night.
No, he wasn't good at all. He got lit up. They scored, I think, 2 runs on him in the first inning. Then they scored three runs. Sorry.
Sorry, continue with Hap, but that's another point. The Jays haven't been able to get out of the first inning without giving up a run.
No.
I mean, last night was the second time all season, third time all season, that they've actually had a lead at some point in the game.
But, I mean, in Detroit, you can take the weather into effect. Johnson's outing, it was flipping cold out. Here in Toronto. Detroit's not too far away.
Fister didn't have a problem.
Yeah, but Fister's also been living in that weather for the past week and a little bit.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know if that's necessarily... I think it's fair to take into account, but at that point, we're just making excuses, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, what happens if they play Detroit in, say, the AL Championship Series, and it's weather like that again, and the Jays get shelled in 4 straight because of the weather? Is that what we're going to say? Like, I'm not trying to, like, throw that on you. I'm just saying...
But throwing in that weather is difficult. Speaking from experience, that's all
I'm sure saying. It is. But at the end of the day, you're a professional pitcher, right? You're a former Cy Young pitcher. You should be able to hit your spots.
There's a lot of things that we can blame on being a professional athlete, but at the end of the day, they're humans, and I don't know. That's just my opinion. But overall, Jeremy, the starting pitching has been really bad.
I think as bad as the starting pitching has been, I thought the relievers have been pretty solid. Brett Cecil, mainly.
Unreal. Unreal. And this, I tweeted about him earlier this week. He has been lights out for the Blue Jays. Earlier this week, he was holding batters to an average of .063 is what it was at, which is great, you know? Haven't seen those sort of numbers from Brett Cecil in a lot of years, and I was sort of hoping that he would be able to be good as a long reliever for the Blue Jays, and he's really shown that. You know, he's appeared in 5 games so far this year, no earned runs.
Can it continue?
I think if he continues to work at it, yeah. But then again, we haven't really seen him go a whole lot more than just one inning at a time, too, right? Which it maybe isn't a bad thing, and, you know, maybe... do you throw him into a starting rotation spot? No, absolutely not. But I would keep on going back to him. I would go back to him as a lefty specialist more so than I would go to Darren Oliver, whose ERA is
struggled this year. He's been that kind of dark spot, but
yeah,
still gotten it done. I mean, that one inning against Detroit where he got hit in the arm is okay. The best way to put it, there've been a few positives in a season of negatives so far.
Yeah, and Brett Cecil is definitely one of them.
Another Brett Lorre coming back, most likely next week against the Yankees. Best case scenario, worst case scenario, the whole month, I believe.
Yeah, Alex Anthopoulos said earlier this week on the Fan 590 with Bob McCown in Primetime Sports, he said that it's looking, you know, more so within the next 2 weeks that Lorre will come back, and he's going to be a welcome presence. I know Lorre's been doing some practicing, doing some fielding, that sort of thing. So he's slowly getting back after the rib injury, and he's going to be a welcome presence, that's for sure.
So we go from the Blue Jays' struggles to a bench-clearing brawl in Southern California. San Diego Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Zach Greinke hits Carlos Quintan with a beanball. I don't think it was intentional. 3-2 count, 1-run game, leading off the inning.
Those two have had a history.
They've had a history according to Carlos Quintan. He's been hit 3 times by Greinke. He is also the most hit player in baseball history.
I wonder why.
Well, anyway, Greinke, accidental or not, plunked Carlos Quintan. Quintan slowly started walking off the plate towards the mound, and then it appears that Greinke may or may not have said something, and Quintan snapped, and from there he decided to charge the mound. Greinke held his own, or rather it looked like he took the hit well, until we found out that he suffered a broken collarbone and will be out 6 to 8 weeks. As someone who suffered a broken collarbone, it's not the most pleasant injury. But we've now found out that Carlos Quintan suspended for 8 games.
Don Mattingly is not going to like that.
A few questions for you. Yes. One, what did you think of, A, his Quinton's reaction? Was it justified? And B, is the suspension long enough with the knowledge that Greinke is out 6 to 8 weeks? I mean, is that equivalent to maybe missing 8 starts?
Okay, well, to start off, Matt Kemp, to get some hindsight into all of this and potentially why this all happened, was back in the first inning, starting pitcher for San Diego, Jason Marquis, threw a high pitch near, you know, the dome of superstar outfielder Matt Kemp. And, you know, Kemp, he was taken aback a little bit. And then this whole incident happened in the sixth inning. And was it intentional? Absolutely not. Why would it be intentional? It's a 2-1 ball game. It's a 3-2 count. And you think he's going to throw at you then?
You're on the road, too.
Exactly. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How do you think he's throwing at you? Like, you've got to be... There's got to be something wrong with you, or you've got to be some sort of egotistical to think that he's throwing at you in that kind of count, in that sort of scenario. Just awful. And then to think that Quinton didn't even move out of the way? Like, come on, man. Hey, that's your own fault right there. Whether, and then to answer your other question, is the suspension, the 8-game suspension merited? Yes. You know, it's a classic bench brawl. The injury is unfortunate. And, you know, maybe he didn't have merit to go out there and run Greinke, but Greinke certainly didn't, you know, run the other way. Then again, as Buster only pointed out yesterday, he's not going to run the other way. It's competitive nature of the game, right? And I don't know, it's too bad that Greinke broke his collarbone, but you know, he certainly didn't back down any.
So you think the suspension is justified, or not justified, the amount of games?
I think the amount of games is yes. I think what Don Mattingly said earlier,
you
this
can't
week,
do that.
No,
you can't, because then you have someone sitting there waiting for, sorry, what Mattingly said was Quinton should be out as long as Greinke is out. But you can't do a suspension based on an injury like that.
Absolutely not. And if you did, then that would change the complete nature of sports and how sports is viewed and how suspensions and all that other fun stuff. So I think the amount of games is correct. I think it's stupid, and I think it was completely overblown. But I will throw out there that I did really like the tweet from the Dodgers. Did you see that tweet?
Stay classy, San Diego.
Yeah, they sent out a tweet to the San Diego Padres with Ron Burgundy, and it said, "You stay classy, San Diego."
So we go from...
That's going to be an entertaining series on Monday. Do you think any fireworks will happen?
Well, I know the Dodgers like to have fireworks after their home run, so I'm assuming Matt Kemp will, if he hadn't already, hit his first home run of the season. But I don't think there'll be another bench-clearing brawl, no. I think there might be, so it'll be a hotly contested baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't normally happen in April. So, will this be a rivalry in, you know, some games to watch throughout the summer? Yes. Do I think there'll be another fight? No.
No.
If it comes down to some...
Because all eyes are on them, right?
The Dodgers also have to be smart, right? They don't want anyone else getting hurt or suspended. They also have a team that can potentially contend, while the Padres... Not likely.
No, and that's a tight division right now.
Especially without Quinton.
That's a tight division. San Fran and Arizona are
Every division is tight in April.
Yeah, except for the AL East right now. But
hey, the Jays are only 2 games back. Every team in that division is either up two or down two, 6-4, 4-6.
They need a lot to change if they're going to be a...
Regardless, we go from Southern California to Northern California. In the San Francisco Giants have a pitcher in their starting rotation that has gotten back to what he once was, and we're not talking about Tim Lincecum. The one and only Barry Zito is back, ladies and gentlemen.
He's back to his days of the Oakland A's back in 2002 when he was 23-5, and I believe he won the Cy Young that year. I could be wrong, but... boy, has he ever been good lately. And two starts so far this season, he's 2-0. Hasn't allowed a run. hasn't allowed a run, has gone seven innings in both starts, and just magnificent for the San Francisco Giants. And do you think this can keep up, Jeremy?
I certainly hope so. I think he's one of baseball's most interesting characters.
Yeah. Interesting, to say the least.
You know what, though? He has two World Series with the Giants. He hasn't pitched great, but last year he pitched well in the playoffs, the postseason. He was one of their more dominant pitchers.
He didn't pitch in their first one.
He didn't pitch in their first one, no, but he's still on the roster.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't on the World Series roster, but he still won a ring.
Yeah.
He's part of the team that got them to the playoffs and whatnot. Yeah. It'd be a great story, and I hope it continues. And Peter Gammons tweeted the other day, going back to September 9th, Barry Zito's last 10 starts, including postseason, he is 9-0 with a 1.63 ERA. That's fantastic.
You know what I think it is, Jeremy? I think it's because that all the pressure has been taken off of him. Nobody has any high expectations for him.
I don't think anyone has expectations for him, period.
No.
We're going to send him out as our fourth or fifth starter. He's going to hopefully eat some innings and produce. And now he's just like, all right, I'll be your ace.
I wouldn't say
he's pitching like an ace.
He's pitching like an ace, but he's definitely not.
No, he's not their ace.
And he's way too old to be an ace nowadays, too.
Hey, when you're 9-0 in your last 10 starts with an ERA of 1.63, and he's your fourth or fifth starter, it's not bad.
But it just goes to show how dominant these Giants are going to be going forward, and like how good, if Vito can keep this up, how good they're going to be come September and October again. They just have that depth in pitching. You know, they can send out any guy in any day of the week. And to think that, you know, Tim Lincecum, a former Cy Young winner and a dominant pitcher back in 2010 and 11, really other than last year, is, you know, one of their worst pitchers right now, is unbelievable.
So staying in California yet again.
Man, we're just all over the California love today.
Moving more so back into Southern California and the Anaheim region.
I'm glad you know the geography here, because I don't know it.
Jared Weaver of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, if we're going to be politically correct, he is out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken elbow, and that's just awful because, one, he has great flow, and two, he's a magnificent pitcher.
And three, he's on my fantasy baseball team, so
well,
my team's
screwed. If we're bringing that up, I have Jose Reyes, so.
Okay, well, yeah, my team's screwed. Man, that's going to be a big loss for the Angels, who are already struggling so far this season. You know, they're currently in the cellar of the AL West with a record of 2-8, 6.5 games back.
I believe they got blanked last night, too.
Yeah, they lost to Houston.
That's not good.
Five-nothing.
No one should lose to Houston.
No one should lose to Houston. And now Houston's ahead of them. Houston has two more wins than them.
And again, it's April.
It's April, but you know, you're on a five-game losing streak, and you have your best pitcher out.
Eric Ibar's also out.
I mean, you got CJ Wilson, but, like, still, man.
And this is the problem that the Angels had last year. They got off to a horrific start, and then they called up Trout. I mean, do they have any magical prospects they can call up this year to spark them?
But not that I've heard of.
Obviously, again, it's April. For every single baseball team playing right now in Major League Baseball, it is April. Don't get too excited. Don't get too depressed. It's April. Teams are 10 games in. There's 162 baseball games. A team can start 10-0. And then lose their next 10, and they'll be 500.
You're right. I mean, baseball is a game of streaks and, you know, ups and downs and all that other fun stuff. But
I saw a great quote the other day. You know, teams will win at least 50, and teams will lose at least 50. It's what you do with, you know, the 62 in between that make the difference of a baseball team.
But I think if you look at a team like the Toronto Blue Jays, and I've always viewed a month like May and, you know, the start of June as a super important month
sure.
to get those wins.
May and June. April is a month that teams are feeling each other out.
Yep.
Some teams struggle to get out of spring training. They're not quite as hot. You know, they're still getting into that group. You have a pitcher like, again, a Blue Jays pitcher like R.A. Dickey. He typically struggles in April, but once he finds it, pitch, people are still looking for their game. You know, hitters need some extra time to really kind of catch up to the ball. Pitchers need some more time to get their arm really loosen up, and then the feel of a full season. It's April. It's still 10 games in. Teams have so much time to catch up. That being said, you can get yourself too far behind, and you can set yourself up in great pace so that you can have a lull in the season. But every game does count the same. But I think games, winning more so at the end of the season counts for more than winning at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you just need to stay close, you know, stay near the top. And actually, one guy that, talking about hot starts, our next two stories here are all full of hot starts. And the first one is Baltimore Orioles first baseman Chris Davis. How about his performance
just
so far?
Raking it. Just
raking is an understatement right now.
Just batting the ball all around the field. Just dingers everywhere. Dingers
great
for everyone.
See. He is. So starting off the year so far for the Baltimore Orioles in 10 games, he has an average of 412. He has 6 home runs, 19 RBIs, and he scored 7 times as well. Unbelievable.
So here's a question. Are Chris Davis and the Orioles for real? I mean, we talked about them maybe kind of staggering back down to earth, but this seems like a team that can battle.
They do seem like a team that can battle. I don't know. I don't like their pitching depth. I just don't. Like, I think they have the bats, and I think, you know, they have guys like Chris Davis and Matt Wieters. But, and then, sorry, in the outfield, and Adam Jones as well. They have a lot.
Who cost the team yesterday by not catching a pop fly.
Yep.
So he was less than impressed with himself.
Less than impressed. But, you know, I don't know. I don't feel as though they're there yet. I don't know. What do you think?
I haven't seen enough of them this year to really judge, but... I mean, they're 500. They're 5-5. Again, still super early. I think it's a team that can... I think they've shown flashes that they can kind of do what they did last year. I don't think it'll be at the same pace, but, you know, we'll, it's kind of one of those we'll wait and see type of thing. Continue to talk about it throughout the season.
Well, we'll wait and see, and we'll play it by ear, but, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think it's one of those teams that can pop up beyond you at any time, and then they can also
slump
very hard.
So let's talk about the two best teams in baseball. One in the National League, the Atlanta Braves, 9-1.
This is a team that you picked at the start of the year to make it to the playoffs and go far in the playoffs, too, Jeremy.
I think so. I think they've got a lot of potential. I mean, last night they...
7-game winning streak.
Last night they came from behind in the 9th inning. They were down 2 runs, scored twice against the Nationals, and then won it in extra innings with a 2-run bomb.
And that's baseball, you know?
That's baseball, folks.
Whenever you get on a winning streak like that, and, you know, you sort of get going and all that other fun stuff, then you just get right into it. And you almost feel infinite. So, like... any lead is not too much to get back from.
And it's not like they beat a bad team. They beat the Washington Nationals in extra innings after tying it in the ninth. And the
right
Nationals, I believe, are 7-3, 7-2.
Yeah, 7-3, right behind them here in the standings.
So, one, that's a pretty big game early in the season for divisional positioning. But you think the Braves are for real? You think they can continue this or maybe compete for the top spot in this division?
I'll tell you what I think. I think that both the Braves and Nationals, they're going to battle it out all season for that top spot in the division, and that's going to be a fun battle to watch. I believe they're the game today on Fox Sports, the Saturday afternoon game, and they're going to be a ton of fun to watch. And whether the Braves can be the better team, I think either way that these two teams are going to meet up in the playoffs, and they're going to battle it out in a 5-game series.
So let's you know, travel to warmer climates of the AL and go back to California.
Oh, man.
This is California Central.
Let's just call the California show.
The Oakland A's are continuing their torrid pace of the end of last season. They have gotten off to a 9-2 start last night with another walk-off winner in extra innings.
Unreal.
They are feeling it, folks.
And it's great to see, too. A friend of yours, Brad Hutchison, he tweeted last night, gotta love, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Oakland Athletics and their white cleats.
Slight correction. It was a walk-off. It wasn't an extra innings. But, yeah, Brad likes the Oakland A's. I think a lot of people like the Oakland A's. I think they're a team that just kind of goes out there and competes. They don't have a ton of stars. You know, they're not a big-name franchise. They play in, you know, politely saying, a bit of a dump.
It's not a nice ballpark by any means.
This is a team that goes out, they grind it, and they just get it done. They're almost like the Tampa Bay Rays in that sense of the way they play and just getting it done.
See, and an interesting thing for them, too, is the emergence of Jed Lowry this year. You know, he was a guy that wasn't really good in Boston, and then they shipped him off to Houston, I believe, and you know, he wasn't good there either. And he started off the year really well, playing in all 11 games so far for Oakland. He has a .386 average, and on base, or sorry, a slugging percentage of .727, and 3 home runs, 8 RBI so far.
Yeah, I'm buying the hype because I picked him up to replace Reyes.
Okay, well, that's a good. But, you know, it's great to see him doing well, along with a guy like Seth Smith. And then you also see their best player last year, you know, Yunonis Cespedes, struggling to start off the year. You know, he's got a .200 average. He's got 3 home runs and 7 RBIs, but certainly not to where he wants to be just yet. And if guys like Lowry and Smith can carry the team, great.
I think the most fun part is the fact that they still have Bartolo Colon pitching, coming back after
pitching well.
A suspension. I mean, that's always fun when Bartolo Colon's in the league.
I said at the start of the year, I said that the Oakland Athletics, I said on a preseason show that I didn't think the Oakland Athletics would be any good because Bartolo Colon was a fluke last year.
You're wrong, son.
I've been wrong.
Again, he's only had 2 starts.
But, you know, he's got a win out of him. But with that said, his ERA is at 4.15. But, you know, they've just got a whole bunch of guys that come out of nowhere. And then they picked up Brett Anderson and Tyler Malone last year. They've got these guys that just throw innings and throw a ton of innings for them. And we mentioned with the Blue Jays how they aren't getting starting pitching from their pitchers. They're 4 starters.
Wait, is this Blue Jays or Oakland?
This is Oakland, sorry. Okay. 14 innings, 12 innings, 13 innings, 13 innings.
It's been a lot of teams in baseball.
If you can eat up innings as a starting pitcher
save your bullpen,
it's a long season, boys. And if you can save that bullpen until later in the year when you really need them and not blow out all their arms by July, you'll be okay.
And we will have to wait and see and talk about it then in July. But for right now, we are in the middle of April. Teams are 10 games in. We know a little bit about some teams. We know a lot about others. And I think it's just going to be an exciting ride to find out what happens the rest of the season.
It's going to be good, Jeremy. And as we close out this show, this will be our last show in our Toronto studios for the next couple months at least.
Yeah, a long time because someone wants to go home to PEI or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I did say I wanted to go home, but sometimes you need to pay the bills.
I hope your mom's not listening. You don't want to go home, Ryan?
Hey, she already knows. She already knows. But I love you, Mom. I love you a lot. But yeah, man, it's we'll be continuing the Jeremy and Ryan show through the interweb via Skype. So please continue to tune in. We'll have our next show up next Thursday, hopefully. Depending on Jeremy's exam schedule.
Well, I have no exams. It's more so just work schedule. I'll be at the Blue Jays games all next week.
So you'll have to fill us in on
against the White Sox and the Friday game against the Yankees.
Give us some inside scoop.
I will do my best.
All right.
Pretty excited to be working the Yankee series. There are a lot of colorful personalities and big name ball players on that squad.
Hey, maybe you'll see Jay-Z. Maybe we'll show up with Robinson Cano.
I feel like he won't be coming to Toronto, but you know what? I would be great if he did. I would love to meet the Mr. Z.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Robinson Cano, though, that's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
They have a pretty good...
They're going to be a fun team to watch this weekend, or next weekend.
That being said, for Jeremy Pearl and Ryan McKenna, this is the end of Weeks 3 Jeremy and Ryan Show. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next week.
Have a good one, guys.